Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Pat with North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through food and agriculture. And I'm so looking forward to the show today. We've got two great guests with us from Blue Scorcher Cafe and Bakery. Lauren Cross is here and Carmen Hughes. Thanks, you guys, for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So before we jump into all kinds of questions about Blue Scorcher and the great work you guys are doing up there, perhaps you could each share with our listeners a little bit about you. What's your connection to the North Coast? How'd you wind up here?
Well, my name is Lauren, and I moved here with my husband, Christopher, about 10 years ago from California, from the San Francisco Bay Area. Just loved the area, loved getting away from the city,
yeah.
And it's such a beautiful spot in the world, so we were very happy here. That's, you know, just gotten better and better.
It is a very special place.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Carmen,
Hi.
How about you?
I'm Carmen, and over 20 years ago, I took a road trip from Austin, Texas, to see my sister, who was living in Portland. And after a year, we moved to the coast.
And here we are.
Oh, that's here
great.
I am.
Yeah. So I'm curious for each of you what your role is at Blue Scorcher. Like, what's your primary responsibility there?
Well, my responsibility is recipe development and quality control. So I'm an owner, and so there are other, you know, just involvements in general with the whole business.
Well, I'm going to want to pick your brain sometime about recipe development, because that is, I'm woefully inadequate at that that process. It is a little crazy making to me.
Yeah, it is.
Carmen, how about you? What's your
I'm name? An owner also, and mostly in the food department, but do a little bit of everything.
Great.
Except bread and pastry.
Yeah, all that deliciousness. So I think that's one of the things that probably a lot of our listeners, and I know I'm certainly really curious about, is the whole notion of like a worker-owned cooperative. Like, what is that, and how does it work, and how do you become an owner?
Let's see. Well, it's not too complicated, but you have to be there so many hours. I don't remember the exact amount. Or 1 year. And then if you get invited, and it kind of, there are 11 owners right now, and they make a decision, and then you're asked to be an owner. But you can also petition to be an owner also.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. And there's a fee involved. And it's definitely a work in progress.
As is any business, right? But I would imagine with a worker-owned cooperative, it could be even more challenging, I think.
It does have its challenges.
And how long have you been an owner?
I've been at the Scorcher 8 years. I think, I don't know when we exactly, the Scorcher started out with 5 owners. And then it was reduced to 2. So it took a number of years before we actually became a worker cooperative.
So it didn't start out that way. It evolved.
It evolved.
Cool.
And now I think it's been a few years since we brought new owners into the mix.
Excellent. And Lauren, how about you? How long have you been there?
I think 4 years, something like that. It's, you know, it's very different being in a collective or co-op, workers co-op, and really interesting to, problem solve, where you've got a big group of people with many different ideas. And interestingly, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the I want to do it this way or my way turns into, well, this is a good idea, and someone will come up with a good idea that sort of trumps all the, you know, a complaint or a this isn't working right. So somebody else will come in with a, well, how about this, and it kind of solves the problem, which is a really nice combination of kind of working things out in a group that's interesting if you've never been in that.
That's great. I'm noticing my former life is sort of catching up with me as I'm listening to you talk. I was in the corporate world for a long time and did learning and development and leadership development and working with teams and systems. And so that was sort of triggering that as you're talking. So I'll try to keep focused on the food here. So for people that don't know, the few people out there that maybe don't know where Blue Scorcher is, where are you located and what are your hours?
We are located on 15th and Duane inside the Fort George building. Our hours are 7 to 4, 7 days a week.
Excellent. And one of the things that's important to me, because I oftentimes don't get off work till after 6 o'clock and you guys are closed, some of the bread from Blue Scorcher can be found at the co-op. If you're in need of a loaf of bread and it's after 4 o'clock, you can find some goodies there periodically. So let's talk a little bit about all the food that's available there. Like, what's cooking at Scorcher?
Well, right now we're getting a lot of local tomatoes, which are fantastic. It's like tomato pepper season.
Nice.
We're making caprese sandwiches, basil, fresh mozzarella, and local tomatoes. With olive oil.
And of course, we're getting some zucchini, too. Don't forget the zucchini.
We were there for breakfast a couple weeks ago, and I saw, it's one of the things I love about coming to Scorcher, is I frequently see farmers going in or out with goodies. And that morning that we were there, a farmer was bringing in zucchini, and there was, he was carrying one particularly ginormous zucchini. I thought, oh, that's going to turn into something delicious. So it looks like you guys really pay attention to sourcing locally.
Yeah, we try to. We've got a whole list of local farmers that we, work with.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. We got some beautiful basket of chicken of the woods mushrooms yesterday from Veronica. All wild. All Wild is her company. Yeah. That's
she is. We should have Veronica on someday.
Oh,
she is such an interesting character. When we were there for breakfast just a couple weeks ago, there were five of us, and Veronica was at the table next to us. And she's just so warm and friendly. And so we all started chatting, and we just had this amazing conversation with this incredibly interesting woman who's doing all kinds of things. But the foraging, her mushroom hunting, and she's got a book and just some fascinating history on top of that.
So. It would be very entertaining.
She's got some great, great stories. So what do you think it is that makes the food so special there?
Well, I mean, 97.9% of our ingredients are organic, and that's super important. I mean, that's one of our mission statements, and that's a big deal. And so we're getting the best quality food, for starters, but you can certainly mess that up.
There's no opportunities all along the way, right?
Yeah.
So,
But having the... having your stock, your staples be that of that quality of the organic, to be able to work in an environment like that in food where it's pretty much, it's organic, is just a, it's so different than not doing that. It's so different. And I think when people come and eat there, they, people respond to the food in a different way because it's flavors and it's just it's very rich food and we're really fortunate to have that available to us.
One of the things that I know that you're most known for, certainly in our house, one of the things is the bread. Can you I know you guys aren't the bakers, but can you talk a little bit about what the bakers do with the bread that makes it so wonderful?
Well, I think a lot of it is sourdough based. I think our sourdough is a pretty sophisticated sourdough. It's not overpowering. That's one thing they do with the dough, Laura.
Yeah, that's huge.
The whole grains, right? The whole grain breads.
Yeah, the
are
multi-grain.
Multi-grains. There's a lot of love and care that goes into being a bread maker. And again, you know, we've got these really wonderful stock store, you know, to draw from all these organic grains. And even I think sometimes they'll grind their own, you know, their own berries. Yeah.
Wow.
And we've got a grinder in the back. So, just working with these wonderful grains makes you want to do beautiful bread.
I was sharing just a little bit earlier, but I'm just so struck by, I think, everybody's passion there. So we were picking up a loaf of bread yesterday, and the young woman at the counter who was ringing it up said, "Oh, and it's beautiful today." And of course, it was a gorgeous day, so I'm automatically thinking weather. And she is so excited about this loaf of bread. And she was showing me the ear, which is the very special way that a really well-crafted tartine sort of rolls up at the top. And she said, even the bottom, and she was showing me the bottom. So the beauty was about the loaf of bread, and it absolutely is a thing of beauty. So what's your favorite thing there?
Good question. I don't know that I have one favorite thing.
It is hard to kind of narrow it down. There's lots of good things.
I mean, I really love working with all the fresh vegetables, and oh man, the tomatoes right now are so beautiful. It's a short window of time, but it's here. And dealing with all the different farmers, it's lovely. Danny from Soa Seed, Gary Sunderland, who used to be a principal in Seaside, I believe, Larry Nelson, Stewardship Farms. I know I'm probably going to forget some of them.
King Fisher
down in Nehalem.
Oh, that's great.
He's, I think, Jeff. As far as I know, when I came here over 25 years ago, probably, he was already well on his way to doing organic farming. Yeah. So as far as I know, he's the oldest or the longest growing of organic produce in Clatsop County.
He definitely has been at it for a long time, kind of the daddy of it all.
Willow Grove Farms over in Longview. Nice. They bring beautiful produce.
Yeah. You guys do great pizzas, too, if people are not familiar with that. So Scorcher is a vegetarian restaurant, and I know sometimes when I'm standing in line there and people come in and they're looking, and that may be a little bit surprising.
Sometimes I think they're in the brewery.
Oh, they're looking for a burger and a beer.
Exactly.
So you've got the buns, but not the not the meat or the beer. That's funny.
But sometimes people will come in and order a Reuben's, which is a sort of a standout sandwich that we make. And the big compliment to me is when someone from maybe out of town, completely out of town, another state, comes in and they don't know they're in a vegetarian restaurant. They order the Reubens, and they say, "Gee, that was really great. What kind of meat was that?"
And it's tempeh, right?
And then you say, "Well,"
or how about, "That was the best Reuben I've ever had."
Yeah,
yeah. I've said that about split pea soup from there, which, by the way, I love that. That you can come in and get a quart of soup or a pint of soup if you want to take out. That's so phenomenal. And anytime I know that split pea is on the menu,
so good.
It's right up there with the very best split pea soup I've ever had. It's delicious.
Lauren's in charge of most of our soup recipes.
So talk a little bit about recipe development. What goes into doing that?
Wait. Maybe Lauren should tell you. Tell them a little bit about your cooking background.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
This is interesting.
Well, cooking background. Well, my family was in the food business. So I've been in test kitchens and, you know, professional kitchens since I was 16. Excuse me. But
so I'm sorry, yeah? I just had to back up. What was it your family did that had you in test kitchens?
Well, my grandfather was in, got involved in the California agriculture in the 20s, and he developed a relationship with the growers to do recipe development and food promotion for their products, like California raisins, olives, almonds, you know, walnuts, all of it, the works, really. And so he had test kitchens to develop recipes for those products that would go nationally syndicated newspapers and Good Housekeeping, McCall's, and things like that. So that was my, you know, that's what I grew up with. And then I eventually went to school in Boston and studied with a woman by the name of Madeline Kamen, who was a fantastic teacher, great cook, and fantastic teacher. Where was she from? Well, she was from France, from Paris, married to an American, and had a restaurant, a working school in the restaurant. Ah. So I got my professional chef's diploma through her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was great. She was great.
So really some wonderful background and education in the food business prior to landing at Scorcher.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were just starting to talk with Lauren about this notion of recipe development, which seems to just totally perplex me. So yeah. What goes into it?
Well, a lot of testing, trying, and it's, you know, requires a lot of concentration. It's easy to get distracted, and if you forget one thing, you know, you kind of got to start all over again. But one of the things I notice in a lot of recipes don't they say salt, you know, at the end or somewhere in there, they'll say add salt to taste, which is a kind of a too bad, because salting is really a critical factor in how things turn out. And so it's nice to be able to develop a recipe so that you know how much salt is in it.
We call it the magic ingredient.
It is a magic ingredient. Yeah. And it makes such a difference.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of testing and just trying out.
So for people that are reading recipes that say, you know, salt to taste, and it maybe says it at the end, what's your recommendation in terms of using salt? Like, when do you add it, and is it more than one time? And
yeah, it depends. Like, if you're doing beans, for example, for a soup recipe, you might want to add salt right after they're finished cooking and they're still in, you know, sitting there on their own. And then you might not have to add so much salt later. But the tricky thing with salt is that I think you need more than people think you need to bring the flavors out. And so that's why it's good to give an amount, because if you have a recipe and you don't know that, you can miss, you know, you can kind of miss the beauty of the recipe because of that. So it's something you have to kind of learn how to work with, and doesn't get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So it just really matters. It depends upon what you're cooking, I guess. I've read this one chef was talking about salting at many different stages to bring all the flavors together.
Mm-hmm. Like with tomatoes, I always put a little salt on my tomatoes because it brings the flavor out.
You mean fresh tomatoes? Right?
Fresh tomatoes.
Tomatoes and avocados both, huh?
Yeah.
Need salt. Yeah, I think that's one of the best lessons I learned in taking cooking classes was about salting, and if you're sauteing aromatics, to salt at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Hold out.
It really does help with flavor development.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've discovered two of the reasons why recipe development is such a challenge for me. You've hit on two things. One is you can't get distracted, and I'm pretty easily distracted, so I think there's a problem. And the other thing that you said was that it's through trial and error and testing things over and over again. And I'm so not an over and over again person. If I can't get something one or two times, I tend to throw up my hands and go, okay. With the exception of pie crust, I worked on learning how to do pie crust, I swear, it took me 25 years. My mother is amazing. And I cannot tell you how many times she tried to show me how to make pie crust. And of course, my mother is one of those that she puts some flour in a bowl and, you know, she uses Crisco and mixes that in. And then I think she puts in a little bit of salt and then she sprinkles in some water. And I'm like, well, how much water? And she goes, well, till it's like this. So I kept trying to follow that process and it didn't quite make sense to me. So it took me a really long time to master pie crust. So I persevered on that one and can actually make it today. So,
So back to the salt topic too. There's a lot of different types of salt. You having a spice shop, you must have a lot of
We do have a lot
varieties.
Of salt. Yep.
So, you know, we're using sea salt, Himalayan sea salt. Is it Himalayan salt?
Mm-hmm.
Kosher salt. I mean, there's a lot of
so
different
salts. What? For you, when you're developing a recipe or cooking something, what makes you decide what salt you want to use?
Well, I usually use kosher salt or the Himalayan salt, the finer ground for most things. But if I'm doing a green salad, for example, just greens and a few tomatoes or, you know, then I like to use the rock salt, the coarser.
Got the Celtic sea salt.
Yeah, like the Celtic sea salt.
That's a beautiful salt.
And so olive oil, a little bit of sherry vinegar just sprinkled on with olive oil and then salt, the coarser salt on top is fantastic. It integrates in a different way. It's really a wonderful thing to have available to be able to do.
I think that's one of those things that people forget about or maybe didn't learn how to do or get so caught up in putting lots of different things in a salad, like forgetting how to dress and season some really simple, beautiful greens.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So you said you use a little bit of olive oil and sherry vinegar, did I hear?
Mm-hmm. The sherry vinegar is great with it's wonderful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just sort of drizzled on the greens, and you don't even, you know, you can toss it if you want, but you can just drizzle the olive oil, the vinegar, splash a little of that vinegar on it, a little bit goes a long way, and same with and the rock salt also, a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful, yeah, it's all you need.
Do you have a standard proportion that you use on vinegar to oil? Or do you just kind of eyeball it?
I kind of eyeball it, but it's so that's again one of those things that you have to really try depending on the oils and the vinegars you're using. I can't give you an exact amount, but you just do it. If you start doing it, you'll learn what that point is. You'll get familiar with that point.
Right. And everybody has a little bit different taste, so may like it certain ways, or perhaps a different kind of acid, maybe lemon instead of sherry vinegar, although sherry vinegar is gorgeous, balsamic.
Yeah.
Lots of people love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What kind of olive oil do you use?
Well, at the Scorcher, we're using a wonderful oil from Provista, which is a specialty, specialty foods.
Yeah.
And it's a I think that it's from Spain.
Nice.
I think they get it from Spain. Anyway, very nice, real flavorful, lovely to work with.
So one of the things I want to make sure to point out about Blue Scorcher, too, because we've been talking a lot about baked things, you guys do a really wonderful job in gluten-free options as well. So I think that's important to let people know that...
Yeah.
You're
and we focus it on, we have gluten-free Fridays, so there's always more options on Fridays.
Oh, nice. Good to know.
The thing I was really impressed with the pastry on that was how good the gluten-free products taste from the Scorcher, because I'd never really had that experience before.
Yeah. Sometimes gluten-free bread leaves a lot to be desired, but you guys do a great job.
The pastry department, do a wonderful job. And
gluten-free bread. We do a couple of times a week.
Yeah, that's very popular.
Always available. We slice it and freeze it.
Nice. You have beautiful chocolate there, too.
Yes.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peggy, our chocolatier, went down to Ecuador?
Yes.
Yeah. To study and gets her nibs directly sourced from the place where she studied. And it's really delicious.
Yeah, really beautiful
she's
chocolate.
She's outstanding. Yeah. She is.
She's in Paris right now.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be hot.
Is she on fun vacation or is she?
Yeah, with her daughter and granddaughter.
Oh, nice. That sounds lovely. So we're rapidly approaching the top of the hour here. So I just want to check in with you guys. It's always interesting, people that work in any type of a restaurant setting where you're around food all the time. What are you cooking at home?
Very little.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say rice and carrots.
Yeah. Maybe slicing tomatoes. Yes.
Peppers.
Peppers. Water.
Yeah. So remind people once again where they can find Blue Scorcher, and is there a website? And
bluescorcher.coop. We are on 15th and Duane in Astoria, Oregon.
Open 7 to 4.
Seven days a week.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was so interesting to hear more about the notion of worker-owned cooperative. I just, as a small business owner, find that a really fascinating topic and probably could have spent the whole time just talking about that. So appreciate having you here.
Definitely. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.